Rise and Shine.
Rise and Shine.
With Robbo and Becky on Vision.
It's ringing, that's encouraging.
Always a start.
Hello?
Hello, is that Jason?
Yes, it is. How are you doing?
Very well. Thanks. It's Robbo and Becky here from Vision in Australia.
Australia.
Robbo, like R-O-B-B-O?
Yep. That's it, yep.
It's an Australian thing.
Nice.
Yes.
I like it.
When you're an Aussie, you'd be Jace-O or yeah. Grey-O. They'd call you Grey-O. They'd put an O on the end of your name.
Yours is a bit of a funny name, like actually.
It. Yeah, so.
Jace, you'd probably just be Jace.
Maybe you'd be just Jace.
Jace, we like to shorten everything. So Jace, like Rebecca is become Becky. My surname's Robinson, so I become Robbo, and we'll just call you Jace.
Robbo.
If that's okay with you.
I kind of like Grey-O, though. That's
yeah, Grey-O. Grey-O. Okay, Grey-O. We'll do that. We'll go with it. Well, thank you very much.
Glad to get to talk with you guys.
Oh, thanks for taking the time out.
It's great to be connected. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard the story, but we actually there was a phone number on your Facebook page, and we thought we'll just give it a call and see what happens.
And the lady was lovely.
She was
Kaylin,
lovely.
Kaylin, we've decided we've got to check in with her regularly. She was great.
who was it?
Someone from the tour company.
Yeah,
or
so Kaylin from your booking agent.
Booking agent.
And then she put us in touch with Josh, who put us in touch with you.
So yeah, it's been a bit of a great radio story trying to hunt you down.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, you got me.
Yeah,
well,
there we go.
You, and we appreciate your time.
Yeah, so appreciate your time.
So good to connect, because I mean, obviously, we've been loving your music for a number of years. I was just sort of doing a bit of research and discovered you've been doing music for decades. Like it was about 97 you put out your first independent release.
My first record, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy,
22 years I've been doing it,
must have been about 12 when that came out.
Yeah,
then.
I'd say.
That's about right, I like that number a lot.
Give or take.
Love it.
But no, we have been loving your music for a number of years, some great songs. Thank of course, you. Obviously, the latest one, which I wonder whether you were wanting to call it Let It Go, but then you decided against that. Was that sort of part of the thought there?
My brother, I had the hardest time with that, because I think the song ought to be called Let It Go. And, I turned it in, and they're like, we're going to have a little bit of a problem here.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Of a popular Disney song. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about, And so I relented, but still I have people come up to me who comment on that and stuff. And also, I should say at the top here, I'm not sure if you knew this or not, but I've got a speech handicap. So people who are hearing this, I just want them to know so they don't think.
Nice. No, that's cool. I appreciate you mentioning it, because we will talk a bit about that as well,
how you've
dealt with some of those challenges, because that would create some enormous challenges, I guess, in the role that you have.
Right. Yeah. But back to the song. I did relent and changed the name of the song, and I was kind of grumpy about it.
So you had to let go of the thought of calling it Let It Go.
Let It Go.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you since seen the Disney song that all us mums are like, we really need to let that song go.
That's funny. And did you genuinely not know about that other song before they told you that?
No, I knew about it. I just didn't give credence to the idea that it would complicate things.
But I
think they were actually right. Like if you ask Alexa to play Let It Go, so it just helped bring a little bit more clarity, distinction between the two songs. So yeah.
That's so cool.
That's good.
So
that's
tell us what we're talking about music. We're both curious about this. I'm going to Let It Go is off your new EP. But it's one of three, so you've already pre-planned all these EPs ahead. So that's obviously a strategic thing. But are all those songs already written, or are you still working on EP number two and three?
You know, I've got all the songs recorded except for one on the other two EPs, and so just wanted to leave a space open because I had time, in case a new song came along that beat the other ones.
Yeah.
but I wrote 75 songs for this last project, and we had to we had to pare it down to 15. So
that's huge.
So I had plenty of got all kinds of albums I could release, you know, like if I wanted to. But you know, here's the spiritual discipline called statio, which the idea is that you give a moment to honor the completion of the thing that you just did before you move on to the next thing, you know. Like I'm gonna have a moment okay, so I've read the book, I'm gonna close the book, and I'm just gonna have a moment where I honor that I just read that book. I'm gonna allow it to sink in before I jump into the next book.
That's cool.
And we can do that with our experiences, we can do that with our mealtime, you know, like, you know. So I wanted to build in the practice of statio in between the ideas of these EPs. So they're going to be called order, disorder, reorder, which I think is a good explanation for the process of transformation, you know. But that's what happens when we are transformed. We go through order into disorder, into reorder. And, you know, in my own life, when I'd go through something painful, my mind would go to, oh no, this must be happening to me because I must have made God angry, and that's why this is happening. Or maybe he doesn't care about my life, or maybe he doesn't exist. And so that's where my mind would always go when I'd be in the midst of great pain and difficulty. And it never really helped. Like, it only made me more anxious, more miserable, you know. And then I got new language. Like, have you ever heard the right words at the right time? And it just kind of brought all kinds of clarity. You know? And that happened to me when I heard the words, I'm being transformed when I'm moving along the spectrum from order into disorder, into reorder. And order, we know what that is. That's when things are going the way that we think they ought to be going, right?
Yeah.
And that's great, but we don't learn anything new in order, right? Like, we need a problem or a challenge or a conflict in order to learn something new, right? So order is great. The problem is we don't learn anything new in order, and we can become stagnant there. So, you know, but don't worry, because chaos is always lurking around the corner, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just when you least expect it.
And maybe that's like a health scare or a job loss or a relationship that breaks down. Whatever it is in your life, you know what it is. Turns your world upside down. And it's painful. And maybe it's painful enough that it opens us up enough that we might be receptive to something new, a new encounter with the Lord, new wisdom, you know, and that's the beginning of reorder. And I know we've all experienced this. We've gone through something really difficult and we've come out the other side more whole, wiser, kinder, more compassionate, all those things. And so I thought good language for all of that is order, disorder, reorder, and I wanted to release a project in three parts that just kind of explored all that.
That's awesome. That's very cool. All the, I guess, the thought process.
Yeah,
that
behind
you've been
instead
through
of one
it.
Big album to three little parts.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
Well,
I guess
it's
if you,
for me, you know, because like, you know, it changes the way that I am when the storm hits. You know, like when the storm hits, I used to cower in the corner, afraid, and feeling abandoned, and feeling sorry for myself, and in a lot of ways, and that just wasn't helpful. It didn't produce anything good in my life, you know. But understanding the storm as a valuable part of the process, as the place where the Lord meets with me to change me, to make me stronger than the storm, that just kind of changes the way rather than cowering in the dark corner, now I'm like, okay,
that's
bring
so
it
cool.
on, you know, and I walk into the storm then.
That's great.
That's awesome. So you've obviously pulled on, you know, personal challenges that you've had in your life. You know, you talked, touched on it a little bit earlier about having a speech impediment, and you seem to have overcome that, but that would have been a storm standing up in front of people. But I'm listening to you articulate these amazing thoughts, obviously God-given thoughts, but it must have been a bit of a challenge to begin with.
Yeah, you know, very early on, as I began to be aware of God's calling on my life, you know, it was a bit complicated because, well, and I used to argue with him about it, saying, Lord, you can't make me your spokesperson until you make it so I can speak. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience or not, but when you tell God that he can't do something, it's kind of like a dare that he can't.
Yeah, that's right. Just you just watch him.
Yeah, watch out, buddy.
So I lost a dare with God, and that's why I do what I do, basically.
It's amazing. But
you know, it's been a wonderful teacher in my life. Like, once I embraced it, then it became something that was really useful. You know, I think, it's kind of like this. If you didn't know that I had a speech handicap before you spoke with me today, I bet now that you do know it, I bet it makes you like me just a little bit more, you know? And I'm willing to believe that because I know that the more time I get to spend with you and the more that I would learn about your imperfections and struggles, the more it would make me like you too and make me feel like I could open up and be vulnerable and be myself, you know? Mm. And that's the gift of our weakness, you know? Our weaknesses make us a safe place for each other, you know? And I remember the day that I discovered that, I used to think, okay, I'm going to do a concert and I'm going to do everything I can to not stutter because that's going to be awkward. It's going to make things worse, you know? And what I discovered, I remember the day it happened, actually. I was playing at a coffee shop in my hometown, and I stuttered really, really horribly that night. And I got done, and I was like, I don't want to meet people because I feel humiliated and embarrassed. I just went awful. I looked like a fool, but there's no back room here, so I can't hide anywhere, so I just have to walk off the stage and meet people. And I just felt so ashamed and embarrassed, you know. And then one by one, people came up to me afterwards and they said, thank you for doing what you do, even though you have a speech handicap. It's helped me to see that I've been making excuses for why I'm not doing the things that are on my heart to do too. And it just helped me to see that I don't have to be defined by my limitations, you know. And one after the other, people came up and told me that. And then I've also discovered how, you know, there's something about this very obvious brokenness that I think creates a safe space in the room when I'm doing a concert, you know. It immediately becomes a place where it's safe for us to be imperfect. And the Lord can do a lot, you know, in that kind of vulnerable space. And that's something that just happens is because I talk funny, you know, and so it's I've discovered how the Holy Spirit uses it to accomplish a lot of great things. So I used to hope and pray that God would heal me of my speech handicap. And over the years, I've seen instead that it appears that he brings a lot of healing to others through my speech handicap, which is what he does with all of our weaknesses, right?
Yeah.
Like when you are vulnerable about your imperfection, there's something about that is so helpful to other people around you, you know?
That's awesome.
So good.
What a great life lesson that you've learned, and obviously you're able to then share with others. We really appreciate you sharing that and just sharing a bit of time with us today, Jason. It's been wonderful to get to know you. And as you said, we like you more now than what we did when we started talking. So
I like you guys more too.
Awesome.
Oh, bless. Well, we'll have to, we always say this to everyone, but one day we're going to get everyone down here a big party.
That's right.
Down under. There we go. So that we can, you know, get you all touring live. We see you all tour around the States, which is amazing. But yeah, one day we'll get you down under.
I've got a crazy story about that I don't know if it's appropriate to air, but whenever I speak with a person in Australia, I like to bring it up just because who knows where it would lead, and it might not be anything, but if you have a moment,
yeah, please do.
I'd share it with you. This is about, I'm going to say this is about 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. It was beginning to be very clear that my marriage was going to end, and I was so distressed about it, and just it was painful, and I was afraid all the time, and I was desperate for the Lord and crying out to Him all the time, like, you know, please, Lord, speak to me, like, whatever it is that I need to hear, so that I can know what I might do to bring healing to my family. Please, you know, I'm willing, you know. If she has to change, I can't do anything about that. But if there's some way that I need to change, please make that clear to me, you know. I was playing at a pastor's conference up in Minneapolis, and I was so present to my desperation on that night, I remember. And the leader of the conference, he came up to me, he said, hey, there's a gentleman here, a pastor. He believes he has a word from the Lord for you and would like to pray with you, if that's okay. I normally wouldn't bring this to you, but I know him and I think he's legit, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I got so hopeful in my heart. I thought, the Lord has heard my prayer, and this man's going to come and pray, and I'm going to hear very clearly what it is that needs to happen so that I can save my marriage, you know. And I felt so grateful to the Lord that He had, you know, noticed. And then the man came and began to pray over me, and then he asked me, how do you feel about Australia? And my heart sank, and I was kind of angry, you know. It felt like a mockery, you know, like I was so desperately crying out to God for this one answer, and then out of the blue, He comes and asks, how do I feel about Australia? And I'll admit that I kind of had a bad attitude in that moment, and I said, well, I guess I'll have Crocodile Dundee was my answer. And you could see that he felt the passive aggression in that answer, you know, but he kept going anyway, and he just began to pray for me. And he prayed, Jason, I believe the Lord wants to take you to Australia, that the people of Australia are waiting for you to bring them the gospel. And I was so heartbroken by that, because I just don't think I'm that special, you know. And I'm like, they got Hillsong down there. They don't need me, of all people, to bring the gospel. So I don't even know what that means. I just just feels like a mockery. And I remember I went home that night. I felt so lonely and abandoned and angry at God, you know. But then about 6 weeks later, I'm playing down in South Carolina, which is like 2,000 miles away. And I get done doing the show, and a person comes through the autograph line and hands me a note. And, you know, I thank them, and I stick it in my pocket to read later back in my hotel room. And I assumed it's a thank you, you know. And I'm in my hotel room, and I open it up, and this person I'd never met wrote, as you were singing, I saw the word Australia above your head.
Oh, wow.
And I believe the Lord is saying that He wants to take you to Australia, and the people of Australia are waiting for what you have to bring them. And I was like, that's just crazy. Okay, yeah. God, you've got my attention. And like, I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means anything. Maybe it's just a weird coincidence. The world is a crazy place. Who knows? But I'm paying attention, you know, like I don't think it means I'm supposed to book a flight to Australia right now, cause I don't even know where I go, but I'm alert and my heart and mind is open and waiting for further instruction, you know? Mm. And that was, 7, maybe 8 years ago. And there hasn't been anything since.
What?
So I don't know what to make of it, but it was like, you know, 6 weeks later, 2,000 miles apart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exact
wow.
Same language. And I have no idea what it means, but every time I speak with a person in Australia, I throw it out there in case you know what it means. Or,
yeah.
You
know, anyway, that's amazing. So.
That's amazing. Well, we'll name it and claim it.
That's
and
right.
See you
no
soon.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to that all falling into place at some point.
Be great. You know,
obviously, right, God's perfect timing. Yeah.
Who knows? But, anyway.
That's awesome.
It's good to talk.
Well, look, thanks again, mate.
Thank
I really
you.
Do appreciate
you
your
so
vulnerability
much.
And just hearing a bit more of your story. It's quite amazing. So God bless you, and we hopefully will see you again face-to-face or talk on the phone sometime soon.
Yeah, that sounds great. Hey, and I, you know, like, I don't know if you're going to air that, but I just want to reiterate, like, I have no grandiose ideas that I have anything special to offer to anybody more than anybody else would or whatever, but it's just an interesting.
It's cool story.
Great.
But yeah,
I love
great.
It.
Excellent.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, mate.
Thank
appreciate
you so much
your time.
For taking the time to chat to us.
Okay, you guys take care. All right, see ya. Bye.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.